So, before I start talking at you, I want a moment to reflect with you. So even if you can't quite recall the exact details, I want you to think amongst yourselves about the moment you met Jesus. It might have been one big surprise meeting in a time of particular trouble or at a particular event, but maybe like me, it was more that Jesus was just kind of in the neighborhood, like your parents knew him and your friends knew him, maybe a partner knew him, you visited him once a week. But then at some point, however it happened, you actually met him and spoke to him, or he spoke to you, and for the first time you really experienced him. So I'm going to pause right off the bat, and I want you to ponder that and the feeling that came with it and take a hold of that and kind of carry it with you throughout this talk. And if you want to, you can turn to each other and share that experience, but you're also welcome to just sit there and reflect on it yourself. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that. I feel like we're experiencing a natural lull, so I'm going to jump in. So I feel quite confident saying that everybody in this room at some point has had an encounter with Jesus, and that's why you're here tonight. And for some of us who then went further and gave our lives to God, we are now his new creation, living daily in him because something about him inspired us to change. And that's what I want you to keep in mind when you're looking at this passage. Paul, talking to the Gentile church at Ephesus, giving them instructions for Christian living to those who'd also heard this good news. Let's walk you through it. This is just my breaking down. I'm not a Bible scholar, so I can't say it's official. But I'm going to look up section 1. Which is verses 17 to 19, that I'm summarizing as the old. And I'm going to repeat it. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live like the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. This is the old self. This is the self you were freed from when you met Jesus, but it's the self you wrestle with in this life. So that's the old. That's who we are combating against in my mind. We see that those in the world who don't believe, they're trapped in a mindset that separates them from God, characterized by ignorance, hardening of the heart, and it all culminates in this loss of sensitivity in favor of sensuality. And what exactly does Paul mean when he says they've lost sensitivity? So I looked the word up, and the official definition is something like, sensitivity is the capacity of an organism or a sensory organ to respond to stimulation. So sensitivity then requires a kind of receptiveness or intentional tuning in to something external to you. When you're listening for something, you tend to stop. When a part of your body hurts, you turn your mind to it and what it might be warning you about. Maybe there's a rock in your shoe. Or psychologically, sensitivity could be stepping outside your own experience to consider for a moment someone else and how your words or actions might impact them. Sensuality then is defined about pleasure and satisfaction, or the pursuit of the fulfillment of your senses, which isn't an inherently bad thing. It's eating when you're hungry, or it's lighting a scented candle. It's what drives most of the animal kingdom. You know, it's how they know to move on, to live, to reproduce, to find what they need to survive. But Paul here shows us what the problem is. It's being given over to it. So it becomes drinking alcohol until you're ill, or dragging out the most painful thing you could say to someone in an argument because you know it will really hurt them in a way that's satisfying to you in that moment of anger. So Paul is describing here humanity in its state of separation from God as having lost its sensitivity to God, to his righteousness and his holiness. And in losing that, almost inevitably, they are being driven primarily by sensuality. So then where do we sit within all this? Because I'm sure that even though we are sitting here as saved people, we can see ourselves in those passages. I certainly can. And we may have struggled or have ongoing struggles with some of these dynamics. And that's where Paul takes us to section 2, and this is the exciting bit. And he goes, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him according with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. This is about the mind again, futility of thinking, renewing of the mind, and to put on that new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. So when we met Jesus, we met God in the form of the perfect human being who lived in connection to God. We met truth. And that truth from that moment is then borne out in our new selves that are no longer slaves to our senses and not driven by a desire to primarily fulfill them, but instead with sensitivity towards God, living out his teachings through his spirit. But this is the crux of the matter, because Paul has to be saying this for a reason. If it was that easy, if you just got saved and it was intuitive and you never struggled, he wouldn't be coming to Ephesus to help them with this. And this is where he's telling us you have to actively put off your old self and put on the new, putting Jesus on. And he kind of says it a few times in the verses, but what came to mind is when you put on a new garment, you don't just do it once because it gets dirty. So you have to launder it and then you put it on again, clean and fresh. So even though we're saved and we're a new redeemed creation in God, that work in us is ongoing. Because you will meet your old self every day. And I know the Bible tells us that, you know, our enemy is the devil who prowls like a roaring lion. But I think the chief enemy sometimes is just ourselves that we meet. It's the one who lurches forward in you in your moments of weakness or anger. So when you get cut off in traffic, when someone speaks unkindly to you. Is that a confession then? Did your spirit man jump within you? When you're feeling low and you reach back into old habits, it's probably a really recognizable version of that. But it's a deeply exciting truth that you and I, even as we sit here, are being made new. But I think there's a danger that we step into the kingdom through salvation. We get our salvation, it's nice and shiny, and we look at it and it's like, that's all very nice. And we put it on the shelf and then we just get on with life. And I think this is what Paul is saying to us here, and this is the key to take with us, that we're no longer to live like the Gentiles. We have to make a choice. We have to participate. And then this takes us to what does this look like? And this is section 3, which I've written fewer notes on, so I'll be slightly winging this. But verses 25 to 29, I've titled The Call to Action. And it's therefore. And that's the crux of it all. So we've looked through it. That's all very well and good. What do we do about it? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands that they may be able to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So here Paul has very kindly put a list together, and I love lists, this is very great, of practical examples of what it looks like, that you've put your garment on, you're keeping it on, you're cleaning it, you're guarding against the old man, you're looking out for it. You've tuned that sensitivity into God through the spirit he's given you. And now you've got to act on it. And there's one bit in that list that I want to zoom into. But before I do, the kind of second engagement session for you guys is to kind of look at that list. And I want you to just amongst each other, pick one of them. And think about what that looks like in your day-to-day life. Take this out of Rome and Ephesus and, oh, it's the Bible. And you know, put it into your actual lived lives now. And just kind of, yeah, take it from there. Yeah. Do we want reminders of the list, by the way? Yes. Yeah, if I'd been good enough to put a PowerPoint together, I probably should have done that. Okay, so putting off falsehood, speaking truth to your neighbor. Do not let the sun set on your anger, because you'll give the devil a foothold. Do not steal any longer, but do something useful and share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Right, so out of that list, there's one that caught my eye, which is anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And the reason this one stood out to me is because it kind of felt like the least applicable. I don't know how much petty thievery is still an issue in a congregation. Apparently, it was a big issue back then. And I won't take credit for this. I was actually speaking to Dan that kind of pinged this off. But there's more than one way to steal something. It doesn't just have to be physical. And what I was thinking is here is that sense of what's the principle here? And I think it's, are you working with God to build up his kingdom? Or are you potentially just sitting on the sidelines, I guess, waiting for Jesus to come back and establish his kingdom all on his own? Because I think the important thing here is that we are a new creation and we are part of this new body. And this is all really exciting, and we're called to step up and work with God to bring our giftings and to bring our time and to bring our hands and to bring our money into that building up of the kingdom. Sorry, I've gone a little bit blank. But it's that sense of tuning into God and letting it be a spiritual walk with God as you come to church, but also outside of church, not just the out of a couple of hours you spend a week in home group or in church, but that 24/7 antenna up lived experience of where can you be the one who provides, where can you be the one who's adding and building up? Because, you know, we are brought in with our inheritance, we have abundance, we have much that we can give from, which I think is basically what I want you to take into the week with you. So I'll finish there. Thank you very much.